Just look what we have to look forward to. Today. Soon I'll come to the end of Heavenly Father, I appreciate you.
Yes.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you.
Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you give us the opportunity to come before you and present our needs back to you, knowing you already know what we have need of. Knowing, Father, our very hearts, our very thoughts, Lord, and what's going on in each individual life. Lord, maybe the physical problems maybe in each individual life, or spiritual, whatever it may be. Father, you are the one who can come before said, ask and we shall receive if we doubt not. Lord, we pray that you just bless each and every one, Lord, that raised their hands, Lord, signifying they had that need in their heart, life, or maybe in their home, their family, whatever it is. But Lord, we know that you're more than able to conquer, Lord, provide whatever it is. And Father, may we be strong in faith, believing, Lord, and knowing that you're more than able to take care of everything. So we ask that you would bless each one now. And Father, just meet every need in their life. And Lord, we just want to pray for the little bride all over the earth. Lord, whatever, wherever she's at, Father, we don't know where they're all at. But Lord, you know their needs and what they need too. So we ask that you would provide it for them and meet that need in their life. Father, help us all to receive the revelation we all have need of. And Lord, it'll bring that rapture. And Father, be caught up in a moment of the twinkle of an eye. We look and we long for that moment. Pray now, thy will be done. Bless us with the word tonight. Make it easy for our brother to bring the word. And may you feel our hearts pulling and drawing upon it. And Father, may you feed us with the word in all things. We ask it now in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Praise his name. You may be seated. Do you have a song tonight, Karen? Thank you.
Amen. Let's all stand, if you will. Sing Little Chorus Only Believes. Ask our brother to come.
Only believe.
Precious Lord, we truly are thankful for this opportunity we've been given. And Lord, as we've come to this portion of the service, Father, we're just asking that you will humble our hearts, Lord, and settle us down. And Lord, let the precious word just strengthen us, encourage us, maybe catch our attention, Lord, in a special way. And Father, it may be simple and may seem like, oh my goodness, we've heard that so long ago. But Lord, just take your precious word for his spirit and his life. And Lord, I just pray that it will mean something to someone tonight, Father, that in some way it will cause us to grow and to continue our walk with you. And I commit myself unto you for service, Lord, and ask you to bless your word to our hearts. In the most precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. While you're still standing, if you would, we'll turn to Matthew, the 4th chapter, and read a verse of Scripture. Amen. I appreciate the song. I think it kind of goes along with the thought that I kind of had for the evening. The Lord laid upon my heart. I don't feel like I will do it justice. I sure wish someone else, but God knows all about it. So in my simple way of bringing things, we're just going to exhort a little bit out of the Scriptures and praying God will be able to add the increase for the blessing to his word. But here in Matthew, the 4th chapter, and let's just start here about the 17th verse. And from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left their ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and you may be seated. If we might draw a little thought from that this evening, as Jesus came and he was called unto each one of them, "Come and follow me." And each one of us are being given that same invitation. And we're living in a time, we might have been serving the Lord for a long time, or maybe we're just starting out, or maybe I've been raised in church and raised around the message, or maybe I've been in a denominational church. Whatever it is, we've been influenced to the place we are today. And as we think about this, Jesus, when he called them and they began to follow him, how he truly began to teach them the words of life. And as we go back into this Bible, and as Jesus began to speak many, many things, and we'll pick up here in just a moment and read one of his sermons. But I want you to notice, you know, as we grow up and as we come through life, there's many things that we come in contact with. And even around the message in which we are, you know, I was born in it, I was raised in it, I was taught to go to church every day, I was taught to, every time that the doors were open, we were there. And so my upbringing was good, just like the rich young ruler in the Scripture. I want you to keep him in mind. You've heard the story many times. But each one of us has got to come to that place to realize that Jesus is talking to us as an individual. And he's calling each one of us to a place with him. And, you know, Jesus made it very, very simple. He never muddied the waters in any way. His scriptures are laying here before us. But Satan has come along, as we were speaking last Sunday night. He's roaming to and fro. He's doing all he can to disrupt God's plan. And just the same as God is using man today to teach you the word and to speak through his fivefold ministry, Satan is using man to speak to us and direct us the other direction, and using all of his devices that he's created throughout the land, television and phones, and you can just see billboards and magazines and Hollywoods and the influence that it has on our lives, and it has had on our lives as we've grown. But Jesus, it was very simple in his teachings. And he laid it down very simple for the things for us to do. And then he sent his men, as we know, Peter and the disciples came after him, after he told them to go and to preach the gospel into all the world. And they began to break it down, the things that he had showed them and the things he had left for them. And then we realize Paul come on the scene for that first age and church age and begin to bring out the word of God. And then how we see the history of it run. We've seen it all take place. And God sent a prophet in this last day to pull that all together and to bring something new? No. Everything he brought was founded right here in the scriptures. And you know, it's not about, you know, sometimes people get into a mode of what did Brother Branham say, of just in a manner of pulling out one thing here and pulling out one thing there. And you know, there's many things that we don't do today that's not written in black and white on these pages, as far as to say, you know, I'm going to use a bowling alley, because that's something Brother Branham mentioned when he was here, that he didn't think that was a good place to be. And so the prophet, with his understanding of what God had revealed through the scriptures, of saying, abstain from the very appearance of evil. You know, there's all these different scriptures. Love not the world or the things of the world. We see the spirit that was controlling those things. And God was revealing himself to us. Yes. And showing us where to stand. And you know, it's all founded right here in the scripture and in the way Jesus lived his life. And you know, but today, years upon years, denominations have come along, all kinds of different ideas. Well, I can go to church and the Catholics think they can drink like a fish and have all the alcohol they want and do their things. And then you got another denomination that'll take one word that they're going to hold to and they'll let everything else slide. And another denomination goes another way. So you get all these churches that claim to be Christians and claiming to follow Jesus, but you just see a muddled picture and a mess. And we often, maybe sometimes we get the question going in our mind, what's right? Where do I go? What am I looking at? What's all this mean? Well, God's very simple. He's a God of simplicity. Yes. And he came and spoke to those that were unlearned, uneducated. They couldn't write their own name, and they understood and received him gladly. And how the things as he began to preach, and I'd like to turn here to Matthew, we'll go over to the Matthew, the 7th chapter. And as Jesus was beginning his ministry, this is just catching. And I just want you to think of the simplicity. We'll just start at verse 1. I just want you to listen, as this is not me. This is not anyone. This was God dwelling in flesh here in the form of his son, Jesus Christ, breaking forth the words of eternal life, revealing himself. Who is he? The Word made flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And oh my, what a life he lived before us, for us to see. But here in the first verse, judge not, that ye be not judged. For what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, ye shall be measured to you again. And each one of these things, if you just take the simplicity of what he said, and if we'll weigh our lives by it, it will show us where we're standing and where to stand and how to live our lives. Yes. And why beholdest the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thy hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. And how just take it in simplicity. Clean your own doorstep. Watch your own life. Measure up with words and make sure you're where you ought to be as an individual.
Yes,
just listen to the simplicity. Thou hypocrite, first cast, let me drop down. Give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again to rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Think about that little verse right there, and then look what the prophet Paul and Peter added to that, to seek diligently and to be found of him. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And he says, For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to you and to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you. Think about this one little verse. You know, there's so many Christians that just can't get that one little verse right in their life. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do you even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. And a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire, whereby by their fruits ye shall know them, or by their works. Watch what their life is producing. Watch what your life is producing. My life is producing. And it will show forth what's on the inside of each one of us, where it's controlling us and what's happening on the inside.
Yes.
Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven.
Amen.
And oftentimes we fail to miss sometimes, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, but him that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And his will is laying right here.
Yes.
And he sent a prophet in this age, thank the Lord, that began to went back and began to show us the full plan of what God wanted for our lives.
Sure.
And as that's laid out before us, each time as we've gathered underneath the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and God uses his ministry to go into the prophet's message and to bring out quotes or to go back into these scriptures and to gel it together, God is trying to draw a picture together for you to be able to see who he is. And that picture's clear, and it doesn't have to be messed up. The words, it flows right in tune. But how is men has entered in themselves and their ideas and took things that is not written here, things the prophet didn't say, or added to something the prophet said or taken from it, and they've made up their own doctrines and their own ideas and their own creeds. And then it gets a little bit confusing because it doesn't seem to line up. But the truth is laying right here, and it's laying in the message that the prophet delivered to us. Nothing out of line. God placed it there. But don't ever forget, he gave the ministry to the perfecting of the saints for the edifying of the body till we all come into the unity of the faith.
Yes.
God had a purpose for it all taking place the way that it does. So don't think that God's word is of no private interpretation. But God give those gifts to teach us and to lead us and to guide us through by the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit leading to bring us to that place that he would have us stand. And he says, Many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied? See, in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And just real quick to go with that, I want you to think about that. Do it the will of these sayings of mine and doeth them. I want you to think that back in the very beginning, when Moses come down off the mountain with those two tablets of stone, that oftentimes you see on a poster on somebody's wall, the Ten Commandments, and maybe we've heard it just becomes the Ten Commandments. That was God's writing with his own finger. And his sayings, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not bear false witness. God beginning to show himself forward in the things that he wanted and his sayings that he wanted to be done. And when Jesus came, he said, I didn't come to destroy the law nor to do away with that, but to magnify it and to fulfill all that was spoken to those prophets of old. Think about God's word in simplicity. Don't make it hard. Don't let it become this big thing in front of you that you can't comprehend. It's in simplicity. And accept God as what he says.
Yes.
And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth the sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat up the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass that when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. And I want you to think of how they must have felt shocked at hearing some of the things that he was saying. Because all they had at that point was just the law, and we do it like this, and we do it like this, and it wasn't by a desire burning in their heart. But Christ came and paid the price that through that shed blood, that Holy Spirit could come back upon a church and by a desire they would do exactly, by a little portion of himself being imparted in there through predestination, they would live a life that would be pleasing to Jesus Christ. But you know, it's something you've got to want. It's not something we learn. It's not something we just come to. But these are words of life. These things were written for us to study. And to read, it's not just a history book. It's not just a Bible. You know, we grow up holding one of these in our hands and having it around the house. Maybe we played Bible trivia. Maybe we grew up in school playing Bible games to see if we could remember things. But this isn't a book just to be remembered or just a book to play with. But it is God's holy word, and he's watched over it all these years to make sure that the things that were written in here and the things that God revealed through that prophet in this last age to show that picture and to magnify these things, that we would obey and come under subjection to God's precious word in all things. In Matthew 16, let me back up here just a little bit. Matthew, the 16th chapter. Jesus speaking here. Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall he reward every man according to his works. And how we should want to take heed to everything that's written in this Bible.
Yes.
It's so easy to think about the things that God's word has said, and sometimes we just kind of associate it with our church, or maybe with something we've heard, like a woman not cutting her hair. Well, that's just my church. We don't wear makeup. That's just my church. No, those are in God's precious word. We go back and we look at the foundation, and God sent a prophet to show us where those foundations were in the scriptures. And it lays out so perfectly that if we would study these things and begin to look, what a great plan it is. But I want you to think real quick here. Brother Branham said something I'd like to, as we talked about in the Garden of Eden last Sunday. The two trees being there and Satan getting beguiling the serpent and doing what he did. This is in the message Oneness. This was preached February 11th, 1962. But just listen to what Brother Branham was saying here on paragraph 36. He said, the first human beings disfellowshipped themselves from believing God by disbelieving his word and listening to a lie of the devil. And that's the first thing that this fellowship, this wonderful union, Adam and Eve in a position to never die, in a position to never be old, to never be sick, to never have a worry. And you say, I sure wish I could be like that. I've got news for you. You are in the same position. God places that to every creature on the earth in the same position. What was the agreement? If you'll keep my words, and if my word, if you'll keep it, believe it and act upon it. But the very first time that Eve disbelieved, it took one word away from what God said. It broke off the fellowship with that great union. And the minute that the church disbelieves any one word of God's Bible and places it somewhere else, then they break off that wonderful fellowship that's offered to them to be separated. As soon as she did that, death set in her mortal being, and not only her mortal, but her spiritual being, and she broke off relationship with God the minute she disbelieved. No man can believe, here it is, no man, no woman can believe the devil's lie until they have disbelieved God's truth. No one can believe the devil's lie until they have disbelieved God's truth. So you see, Eve and Adam, and where it places us this morning. Now let's think seriously, because we never be able to think anymore after this mortal life is over. Your thinking is now. You cannot choose after this. You must choose now, for this is the day of choosing and making your choice. Now she, one word, not a whole dialogue, just one word. She questioned God because it was presented to her in that light that the word was questionable. God's word cannot be questioned. He meant just what he said, but she questioned it because it was presented to her. Oh, God surely didn't mean that, but he did mean that. God means every word he says, and it doesn't need any private interpretation. It's just the way he said it. Yes. And you say, how do you know? Well, you say, how do you know about the Bible? I believe that my God has guided this Bible. He watches over his word. He knew that the atheists and the infidels would rise in the last days, and he's watched over it. And this is exactly the way God meant it. It's the way it is to us now, and we must believe it. One word off of it, and we lose our fellowship and go off to death and eternal separation from God, just as Adam and Eve did. We must believe God's truth. Yes, and if nothing else instill unto you that what God said, he means. And what's written here, God's going to back it up. Yes. And what God spoke through the prophet in this last day, what he said will come to pass. God's word will not fail. And God has his way of speaking his word and utilizing it through men. And how we should take heed to what God said. And just as Eve, it was presented to her and it caused her to begin to doubt. It began to reason. Well, I know. And just think, the devil's the same today. I know it says that, but all the time. That's the way it always happens. Well, I know the word said that, but the minute you go there, you've walked away from God's word. We must stay with it, just the way it was written and given to us, and watch God bless the word and bring it to pass in your life. But we've got to be willing to yield ourselves to him and to follow him. Think about it when he walked past Peter. Peter's a fisherman. He's out there casting his net, but God said, come and follow me. There was something down in Peter. He didn't know exactly what was going to go on. He didn't really know what was going to take place, but he had seen something that was enough, that it drawed his attention, and he began to follow. And then look where God led him to. And it's the same way with many of us. As we said here, as we come in around the precious word, there's just something down on the inside that's nudging, and it's nudging. And you know, Satan is there trying to pull the other way. He's very crafty. And we're in a space where it's all, look at the excitement that's over here. Look what they're doing over here. Look what they're allowed to do. Look where they're allowed to go. Look what they're partaking in. And they're all going all right. They claim to be Christians. But God called a special called out few to be different. To be oddballs. To stand out and to hold to a truth no matter what anyone else says. And we must truly see that we've been called for that purpose.
Yes.
Amen. I'd like to, real quick, I'm going to pop over here. I'm going to take way too much time. Amen. I'm not going to get through. Let's see. So I want you to think about, as Brother Branham, as we talked about the rich young ruler, and we know the story, how he come to Jesus, and Jesus told him to do all these things. He said, all of that I've done. And Jesus, knowing that money was a little bit problem for him, he told him what to do. But it was too great of a price to pay. And as we think about that in the message leadership, and this was preached in October 31st, 65, as Brother Branham began to speak, it's very common. We've read it, but just think about it for a moment. Remember that the first step that any of us ever made, somebody led us. Your mothers remember the first steps that Junior or that little girl made. They don't remember it no more, but somebody led you to your first step. And I remember Billy Paul when he made his first step, and Joseph and all of them when they made their first step. It's usually a mother that gets to lead a child to its first step because she is home while the daddy is out working, trying to make a living. But they make their first step, and at nighttime when they come in, the father, he's always saying, oh, Dad, she said, Johnny and Mary, the little boy, come walk. Come and look. Just one step, and maybe mother had to hold your hand or your finger because you was kind of weak and kind of turned sideways, you know, and fall down a little. So you had to hold mama's hand to make your first step. Somebody helped you. And when you made that first step, your last step you ever make in life, somebody will be leading you. See, that's right. I want you to remember that. Your first step, somebody led you. And your last step, somebody will be leading you. And as we think about, it may sound really simple, but how we can truly see is every day as we go through life, if we don't lean upon this precious word, Satan is there to lead us in any and every direction. And you can look at the people that he is leading. They're in confusion. They're in a turmoil. Their lives is upside down. They don't know where to stand. They don't know where to go. They don't know who they want to be. They're just, everything about them, they have no peace. They have no settlement. It's just churning around them. But you look at the ones that have truly leaned themselves to Jesus Christ and following him. Look at the settledness that's in their life. That don't mean they don't have trials. That don't mean they don't have rough places in the road. But he is holding themselves fast and secure. And as they go through life, their security and their strength is not within themselves. But it's within knowing that God holds tomorrow. And they know who they're believing. And he said he would never leave us nor forsake us, as long as I can find myself lining up in the mirror of his precious word. Yes. And how that ought to cause such a hunger in our lives to, and when we see what's taking place around us, no peace, no everything that's going on, what a love affair it ought to cause in our hearts to see that I've been granted by grace, the opportunity has been presented to me to see this placed before us. And you know, every time we come in here, God's word comes forth. And you know, sometimes it may seem as each time we come in those doors, it may just seem like the pastor is just pinning me down. But it's not the pastor, and that's sometimes where we fail to make our mistake. We get a man in our vision because the preacher's who we're hearing. But it's God that's speaking to us. It's the leadership of the Holy Spirit that knows your thoughts and your heart and the intents of your heart. And as we said here under God's precious word, judgment begins here. That's the way God set it up. That judgment is coming here to change us and to conform us to the image of his son. And as we sit here and hear this word, and underneath the anointing of the Holy Spirit dealing with our hearts, how it ought to cause us to yield to him in a greater measure. But you know, Satan's right there always trying to say, that's not right, that's not the truth, you don't have to do that. But God's word is laying here as judgment. And we must come under subjection to that word, because this book is a book of blessing, and it's also a book of curse. We know exactly where it's going to stand one of these days. There's no black-white bird. It's either black or it's white. As Brother Branham said, you know, there's no such thing as a drunk sober man. You're either here or there. And that's what God has so clearly done through his precious word, is to show where we can stand. A wise man, his house will stand as it was on a rock, and a foolish man is going to fall as if it was built upon the sand. And how these things are laying before us. And let's go back to something, a little parable Jesus left for us here. Amen. Let's go back to, I think it's Matthew 6, or Luke 16 rather. Luke 16. And I want you to think about these two people. Brother Branham in the message leadership, he talked about the rich young ruler, and then he kind of went through some of this. But just listen as Jesus left us this type. And I want you to think about it in the way that he said it. And this is we'll start about the 19th verse. of the 16th chapter of Luke. There was a certain rich man which had clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day of his life. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. And just for a quick reference, does it sound like that rich man was doing to that beggar as he would have had him done unto him? One word was left out of his life. If nothing else, just look at the sincerity of what happened there. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was also carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, for the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried, and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, but Father Abraham, but if one would went to him from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And I want you to think about the situation. We have been given an opportunity today to sit under God's precious word tonight. And every time that we gather, anytime we have an opportunity to listen to it, we're duty bound to hearken to it. Because today is the day that we must make sure we know exactly that we're lining up with God's precious word. This is our chance. We have been given a choice. God has placed us so graciously. Look how many people are on this earth that have never truly had the opportunity to hear the truth. But each one of us that's sitting here by God's grace, we've been given an opportunity to hear what God is speaking and the truth that's been revealed in this last age and how it ought to cause us to hearken to God's precious word. And you know, it's not a life of rules, it's not a life of regulations, but it's a life of realizing that what God said a man and a woman should be, and that we toe the mark to match that 100%. We see Satan out here in the land. He's trying to make men women and women men. He's got the whole thing. He's just in turmoil, trying to wreck the whole thing and trying to destroy everything God's given us. But God will conquer, and God will prove that his word is exactly what he said. The day is coming. They shall burn as an oven, and all that do wickedly, that's to know to do good and doeth it not. And how we should truly hearken when we know these things are written, how it should be in our heart and life. Lord, I want to get to that place to where I'm listening to every word you've said. And I'm listening and doing. And it's got to be a desire. And you know, God don't expect us. Our pastor has so beautifully brought it out so many times. God don't expect us to do it on our own. But he placed a little desire down on the inside that if we can just but yield. If he can but one time get you to come under submission to him and just say, Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Lord, give me my portion. And seeking with all of your heart and diligently reaching out that, Lord, I want to be what this word said I should be. How he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How we would see those things. This is something Brother Branham said in the message. This was actually in Come Follow Me. And I want you to just take it personal. Each and every one of us. He's talking to the kids here, but each one of us can take it personal. Amen. And I'll try to wrap up. Paragraph 91. He said, Kids, each one, you seem like mine. Each one seems like my own sons and daughters in one way you are, spiritually speaking. That's right. The Lord has put your souls into my care because you come to listen to me and you believe me. And in one sense of the word, you are my sons and daughters. That's right. Always remember, keeping the commandments of God is a great thing. Being raised in a good home is a heritage from God. And to be fine kids with personalities as you have, and good and wonderful to have an education, it's wonderful to even live in this free land. And you've got many things to be thankful for. But there's one thing that you just don't inherit. You've got to accept it. And that's eternal life. And you'll only do that by following Jesus, by a born-again experience. And don't neglect that. Little story one time I heard of a man who was, he was poor. And he always wanted, it's a little fairy story. He says, it always stuck with me though. One day he picked up a flower, and the flower was magic. And the flower answered him and said, "You've been poor all your life." He said, "Now ask what you will, and it'll be given to you." And he said, "That yonder mountain would open up, and I could go therein and find gold in that mountain." And he said, the flower speaking to him said, "Well, you'll have to take me wherever you go. See, you'll have to take me with you. So wherever I am, then you can ask what you will." And he walked to the mountain, and the mountain opened up, and he went in, and the shelves was full of gold and diamonds. And as the little fairy story goes, he laid the flower down on a table or a rock, and he ran and grabbed a great big gem, and he said, "I must go show this to my friends, and now I'm a rich man. I have everything now. I must show this." And so the flower spoke but said, "You forgot the main thing." And so he runs back, and he picks it up, and he says, "Well, maybe I'll get a piece of gold, and I'll get a piece of silver." And he says, "I'll hurry out so to tell the people how rich I am and what all I've got." And he got to the door, and the flower said, "But you forgot the main thing." And so he runs back again, and in here we find all kinds of materials. And he picked up a stone, and he said, "I'll go and take this stone and show the people what kind of a stone this mountain is made out of. And I can find my way back to it, see?" And he started out the door, and the flower said, for its final time, "You have forgot the main thing." And he said, "Oh, shut up." See, he didn't want to hear it anymore. He forgot the main thing, and he ran out the door, and when he did, the door closed behind him with the flower on the inside. And the main thing was the flower. And the main thing was the flower, he says again. And I want you to think about that. No matter where you go, wherever you travel, wherever life takes us, may we never forget this is the main thing. Jesus Christ wants to be first and foremost in our lives. And it don't matter. We might be healthy and strong, and everything seem to be at our fingertips today. But the time will come, your body will fail you, your wealth will fail you. Everything in this life is going to falter and fail and pass away. But God's word will never fall, and it will never pass away, and it will always hold true. And may we truly lean to that and always remember that's what we're looking for. And that's got to be what is going to see us through and what's going to hold us. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. But as we think about that, and as every day we're faced with a choice, and it's laying before us all the time. Every day, every one of us is not exempt. And as Brother Branham put it in leadership here on paragraph 152, he said, "Notice, this leadership confronts every one of us today the same thing as it did to that young man." Yes. No matter how religious you are, you may be Catholic, you may be Baptist, Methodist, you might be Pentecostal, you might be a message believer. I put that there. Whatever you are, the same thing confronts you tonight, eternal life, and that's the acceptance of Jesus Christ. And we are given this opportunity. Sometime in life, we have to confront the thing just like this young man did, because you are a mortal being, and you are given the opportunity of choice. And you have a choice. God made it so you can choose. If he put Adam and Eve on a free moral agency so they could choose, and then they made the wrong choice, see? He can do no more to you than he did to them. He's got to put you in the same thing as you can choose or reject. You have a choice, and let's look at some of them. You have a choice as a young man whether you're going to have an education or not. You have that choice. You can want to be or just not to have it, or you can just refuse it. You have a choice of your conduct, and I'm going to hurt just a little bit here. You can go out and let your hair grow down and be a beetle or some of these ignoramuses, or you women can look like a decent human being, or you can be one of these weird creatures that we have out here, them blued eyes and watered head haircuts and things. They're completely against the word of God, which is absolutely contrary. Couldn't offer a prayer to be accepted. That's the truth. That's exactly right. That's what the Bible said. But what's happened to you, church? You've seen too much television and so much things of the world. It's so easy for the old Adam nature to drift into that and to act like the rest of them. and without the being born again of his Spirit and filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it'll always be more enticing. It'll always draw. It'll always want to pull you that way. And that's why it's so important to get out of ourselves and to cry out to him, to let him do the work that's needed in our life. Yield to him and let him put the desire in there that will lead you and guide you into all truths and lead you through every phase of life. But it's not about, well, I want to do it the way Brother Tim says. I want to do it about the way Brother Steve says. I want to do it about the way Brother so-and-so is saying. But no, it's got to be what God said in his precious word. And so many have put their eyes upon a church. They put their eyes upon a certain group of people. And then people make mistakes or something goes south. And now it's all just falling apart. And we don't know where to stand. But God's word is ever present and it's laying right there. He's never left. He's always mindful, and it's right there. But it's how we want to look at it. What do we want to put our own idea? We want to look at it with our own slant and my own wants and desires. But you've got to leave everything. Take up your cross. Deny yourself and follow him, and he will lead you into all truth. And may we truly yield ourselves to him in a greater measure. It's such a wonderful life. I don't regret a mile that I've traveled for the Lord. And I'm a young man, and maybe got many, if the Lord should tarry, maybe my road will be rougher the next 40. I don't know. But you know, one thing, God has never, ever let us down. Through all of life's storms, yes, I've had to do a lot of growing, and you will too as you travel with the Lord. He's maturing us. He's growing us, conforming us to his image, and through his precious word and his precious grace, we are growing as calves in the stall. And you're no different, but you've got to yield to him. You've got to want to choose. You've got to make a choice. Which road do I want in life? Do I want to maybe go out and party and have a bed of ease and just live my life any old way? Or maybe be a church member and just do things that I know is not pleasing to God, but I'll still go to church and call myself a Christian? Or do I want to be one that truly, Lord, I want my life to be a light that's shining forth, that is a life that I can't live myself, Lord, but you are living it through me. Amen. May that be the desire of our hearts. Hallelujah. Yes. I pray something was said to strengthen you, encourage you.
Yes,
I feel like sometimes you don't do it you can't do it justice. But can you just think of the precious words that God was speaking through Jesus Christ to us, making himself known and beginning to show forth his attributes. As we look back through the Old Testament and begin to see that this whole book is the revelation of Jesus Christ. May we truly yield ourselves to him in a greater measure, that our lives would be exactly what he wants us to be. Amen. Let's all stand, if you would. Let's just sing that little chorus, "To Be Like Jesus," as our pastor comes. Amen. To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus.
Talking about even in the song, our life's journey. You know, it should be truly the place to where Jesus Christ is first. I mean, oftentimes we say that maybe in our hearts, our lives, we think that. But is he really? You know, is he the foremost, most important one in our life? That we seek him before any decisions is made, before we do anything. You know, I think about Dad, when he was getting to the end of his years, and actually just the last few months of his life, of how many times he spoke of, you know, maybe different things that needed done, or this was taking place, and this and the other, and he'd say, "No, I won't need it much longer anyway," you know. And I was thinking about it in a way that what his desires was then versus what it was when he was a young man. And I even see it in my own life. I mean, I see where my desires was when I was younger. And I'm not talking about things contrary to the word, but just desires, different things you wanted to do in life. And maybe the way you wanted to do things, or you wanted to build something, or buy a certain thing. And even the age that I'm at now, I think about how my desires was then. It's so much different than what it is now. You know, because the age I'm getting, I'm thinking about going home. I'm thinking about laying this life down. And I know as days goes on, my journey's getting closer to the end. And so my desires ain't what they was then. I'm not thinking of having this great big thing or building this big new house or buying this great big thing. It's just not there. You know, it's just, it's different than what it used to be. Before, I'd think, boy, I'd like to build this nice big house. And I'd like to have this certain job and this, that, and the other. But as I said, as you're getting older, you're winding down. And I think, if only, when I look back, my desires could have been in my 30s what it is in my 60s. How much different things would have been, you know? May have been a lot less headaches, heartaches, different problems, you know? But that's how we should be growing up in Christ. Our desires should be not like what they used to be. Our desires shouldn't be for great big goals of doing this and doing that. No. We live one day at a time. And with the desire, Lord, let it be to me according to thy will, God, for this day. For this day may end for me. Who knows? You know? You don't know what day will end for you. So as they sang in their song, you know, and our brother mentioned different things. Let's live today for Jesus Christ. We may not have tomorrow, you know. And like I say, the young people that are sitting here, standing here right now, you don't know that experience of when you're getting older and what you was young. You don't know what it is. But I stand here knowing what it is. And like I say, that change that's in life, you know, you're more interested in truly seeking the things of God and seeking Him first and His righteousness, knowing all these other things should be added to you. So may we just kind of keep that in mind with what our brother was speaking about and what the sister's saying about. For again, you don't know if tomorrow is yours. Tomorrow may never be yours. You see, it can happen so quick. A friend of mine had passed away yesterday in a car wreck, and I just spoke to him not too long ago, had a long conversation with him, and he had rolled his car over and got killed. And a nice old man, you know, he was a good old fella to talk to, but just you don't know when, you know. He was out having a good time, you know, just wanted to have a ride, take a ride. In death, and that's the way it can happen to us. So I know you may get bored speaking one or hearing what I'm speaking, but just remember, God knows what lays in our future. We don't, you see. So again, let it be to me according to thy will, O God, whatever day and however long I live. Amen. That should be our desire. Let us bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, we do appreciate the Word of God in which we heard this evening. We always, by your mercy and grace, can take the Word of God and measure ourselves up by it and see where we're standing at and see how we measure up before you. And Lord, we just trust that you'll help us and direct us and continue to lead us by your sweet Holy Spirit. Father, as a brother mentioned, we come here sometimes and it may seem like the Word of God is pointing its finger right at us and cutting us and chopping on us. But Lord, I think of something your prophet said. For only the elected, and he said the true vine, would know judgment begins at the house of God. Outside of that, no one would really understand that and nobody would know it. To them, Lord, I'm sure, to the false vine that things would just seem clear out of cater and out of order to them. But to the true vine, they truly understand judgment begins at the house of God. And as another thing the prophet said, only, if this would only stick to our hearts, Lord, only the elect will not be deceived. That, Lord, is so tremendous and so gracious and powerful. Lord, we just thank you for all these precious words of life that you've given us. May we be able to go out and live by them. Just watch over us again, we ask now, and keep us safe upon the highways. And if you should tarry, Lord, may we all be granted grace and mercy to be able to gather back in the house of the Lord. And Father, gather around the word of God. We ask it again to your glory and honor. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Amen. May God richly bless you. Do you love the Lord?
Amen.
I think my wife wants to say something. Is gone. Is he not?
Amen.
He sure is. All right. It's good to serve a living God. It's good to have a living God on your side. Amen. He's so wonderful. May God richly bless you. All dismissed.